So I'm now going to introduce the only person that I know in Montreal that actually knows Jesus. Mr. Mike Spry.
You're going to make me laugh. I don't know Jesus. All right. I was going to read a story. It should go pretty quickly, as long as I don't shake too much. It's called... It's part of my personality. Okay. Anyway, it's called Jesus of Thunder Bay. Jesus Christ, don't listen to no goddamn striper, eh? I know this. The Lord likes folk, like Cat Stevens or Dylan and Ian and Sylvia. No goddamn striper. I know Jesus, motherfucker. I know you got your own history. You seem like the type. I seen you coming out of St. Mary's there on Sundays. We got real history, man. We tried to kill a Spaniard dishwasher once, eh? It all started with the resurrection, but that ain't where it went all to shit. But she starts there, the beginning, like. CNE, September 2nd, 1987. Neil Young's in the middle of down by the river, eh? And suddenly Jesus reappears. Of course, with the beard and the long hair and whatnot, he fit right in and no one really noticed. I wasn't there, but I listened to more Kenny Rogers and Alabama and Skynyrd. But I know Jesus real well, not like most, eh? Yeah, man, I know Jesus. Jesus and I are like brothers, man. I used to clear his driveway with my Honda blower, eh? This is the truth, friend, and I only know this to be the truth because when I was living in Thunder Bay a couple years back, Jesus was my next-door neighbor. Turns out he came back and no one gave a fuck. It was the 80s, right? And everyone's doing blow and making money, and who needs the Lord when you're rich, eh? He expected more, right? Thinks his dad fucked him over, right? With that, like, Old Testament, New Testament thing. He told me this one night over hot toddies. Jesus loves his hot toddies. He hung out at the Neil show till security forced him to leave. He wandered around downtown for a bit, but he found he wasn't the only one claiming to be the Messiah. But you know the big smoke, eh? They don't care for nothing but the goddamn Leafs and themselves. And he's got competition in the preaching department too, eh? In fact, he was one of many Jesus, all sporting the same look. He was picked up for loitering by the cops later in the morning, told the cops, "Hey man, I'm Jesus, man. I've come back, man. I can turn water into wine, man." Jesus didn't know that anyone these days could do the same. They just needed a lot of grapes and some time, eh? So he gets released the next day, right? And he's already so disillusioned with the lack of believers in his short time in Toronto that he decides to get out. Toronto's a soulless fucking virus of the hamlet that should be imploded before it spreads right the way across Ontario, eh? I don't gotta tell you that. But he said he had considered a few places, eh? But remembered a conversation he had with Terry Fox, and Fox told him, "If cancer don't kill you, Thunder Bay will." So he figures maybe a place described as so bleak by a good fuck like Terry Fox, God bless his soul, that such a place would be in need of him, eh? So he hitches up there to T-Bay, takes him a few days, but he finds his way up, and he kind of skulks around the town for a bit, you know, feeling his way, and he realizes that Terry Fox is right, that Thunder Bay needs him, and so he gets a job sweeping up at your St. Mary's, before your time, like. Figures work his way up from the inside, but soon he realizes that it ain't happening and decides to make the best of things and settle into a normal life. Finds the name Jesus gets him beat up or ignored or thrown in the can and once tied to a tree in a park just left wearing his gitch. And he's got enough trouble of being hung up on wood and whatnot in his gitch, eh? So he starts going by Josh Christos, and saving up for a while, he opens a gyro hut down where the Lakehead kids drink and starts to make some pretty good coin off hungry, drunken students scoffing down $1.50 gyros after a night of drinking. Call the place Christo Gyro, and this is way before most foreign foods had made their way that far up north. I mean, they had the Chinese buffet and shit, but nothing like the gyro hut. And so Jesus is doing real well, but he's still kind of lonely, right? And he kind of misses preaching and the followers and the whatnot. And turning water into wine can get a lonely man into trouble, right? So Jesus finds himself drinking nightly with the whores and the miscreants, the drunken natives, the out-of-work mill workers. After the gyro hut closes up, back alley holes, you know, nothing like here, eh? Like no X or nothing, just dark and light piss draft. And he finds some sort of peace with these folks, right? It humbles them, see? Because they're just like him, see? Especially the unemployed and the like. And he meets this waitress named Maggie, and Jesus hadn't gotten laid since, like, nearly 2,000 years, since the wandering and that Mary Magdalene, and this Maggie's got a sweet ass and a nice rack, and so he tells me. So she takes him home. Problem is, right, that Jesus gets one past the goalie that first night. The first damn night. That's what you get when you buy condoms in the can at the bar, eh? You get Alan Bester playing goal, a real sieve, right? And she's preggers, and you know abortion ain't an option. So they get hitched at the Greek Orthodox, because he's kind of a community guy now, and they got a little two-bedroom on a good-sized lot, and everything's fine, eh? So I move in around 97 into the house my Uncle Paul willed me. My Uncle Paul, he invented the property of t-shirt. Made some nice coin too. My Uncle Paul got the syphilis from a hooker in North Dakota, and 8 months later he was dead. And it's the house right next door to the Christos. And because my dad died in 83, drowned in Nevada canola oil, right? You may have seen it on the CBC. They did a piece. I'm the only heir, so I get the house. Suits me fine, because right around then I just got fired from a parts factory there in Bowmanville, so I got the spare time. So anyway, right, I'm out there with the blower one day, because we got about 40 inches, and it was still November. You remember that year, don't you? And Jesus is clearing his driveway with a little Canadian Tire plastic shovel that's good for picking up dog shit, not much else. So I says, hey, I'll do with the blower there, friend. He says, wow. So I says, because I got a nice Honda blower that came with my uncle's place, and so he invites me in for a hot toddy when I'm done. I love a good hot toddy too, not as much as Jesus, because sometimes he puts in too much butter. And as I get on, I got a problem with the milks, right? But after a while, it's out, and the nice warm beverage does me good, and even if it shoots through me like a midget on a water slide. And he introduced me to the wife, and at this point, they got three kids, all boys, a nice extension on the back of the house too. Excellent craftsmanship, eh? Because the man was a carpenter. They got the most beautiful crown moldings inside, and you can't even tell the old part from the new part. Aaron, Josh Jr., and Levi. Those are the boys, eh? And Maggie's still a good-looking broad at this point, even with the waitressing and the three kids. And they seem like good folks, and Jesus don't have a lot of friends, and neither do I, because I'm living off the inheritance and not working, so me and Jesus become good buds. But I don't know at this point that he's Jesus, and I don't think anyone did, maybe not even Maggie. But one night, see, we're in my rec room playing the foosball, at which Jesus excels, by the way. Great hand-eye-tie coordination in the Lord. And we're doing shots of Banana Ramazzotti every time someone scores and listening to Nazareth, which wasn't funny till later. And we got hammered around 3 a.m. and we're crooning through Love Hurts, and he says to me, you want to know a secret? And I says, sure. And he says, I'm Jesus. And I says, Jesus Christ, eh? And he says, that's me, boss. And he goes on and tells me about CNE and Neil Young and how Joseph and his mom never really got along and the gyros and everything. Of course, I don't believe him because my dad was agnostic and my mom a Presbyterian. And he says, get him a pitcher of water. So I pour a pitcher and give it to him, and he touches it and boom. Quick as a dead cat off a trampoline, it's a pitcher of red wine. I says to him, why the fuck are we drinking Banana Ramazzotti? And he laughs, and I have a sip, and it's like homemade piss. So I use it to make some sangria, and we pass out watching Barnaby Jones, because we're loaded, and Jesus loves Buddy Epson. So for a while, right, I'm full of questions, eh? Like, what's heaven like, and where'd he go there between 13 and 30 or whatever? And what's his dad up to, and how come we ain't won a gold medal in hockey in 50 years? And is Elvis Presley really dead, or does he live in Tweed like my buddy Mike from Killaloo tells me? And how do fax machines work, and, you know, important stuff? And he does his best to answer me, but he's got to be all coy, like, because you can't just get all the answers to some fella like me up the bay. And I ask, can he see the future and whatnot, kind of like half jokingly, and say we should lay some bets down, like that Back in the Future movie with the Vancouver kid who's got the palsy. And he says he can't see the future, that he's just a man like me now. And I says, you ain't like me, Jesus. I jerk off and cuss and shit, and I killed a guy once in Peterborough by mistake. But I don't mention that last part because I'm afraid of some smiting or whatever. And he says, not like that, but mortal and shit. And I says, Jesus, eh, the Lord here, man. I says to him, that's a raw deal. And he says, yeah, the resurrection really fucked him. And he never really trusted his dad, like, because why would he be resurrected during a Neil show at the CNE? But that Maggie was a handful, I'll tell you that much. Boy, could she get pissed something fierce. Oh, man, could she give it to him. Right in front of the house with the whole neighborhood watching. Even Jesus catches shit from the wife, eh? That's why I'm not married. Even the Lord himself can't control a woman. Who's got a chance, right? So this goes on, eh? And I keep a secret, and we drink a lot of sangria, even in the dead of winter, because the man's magic red is piss but free. And he crashes mine every so often because Maggie's a hot little number, like I said. And sometime around 03, she has another kid, a girl this time, but the kid's dark, right? Mulatto or whatever. And Jesus says to her one night he's had the snip a few years back and didn't tell her. And she says, he says, have you been with that Spaniard dishwasher down the gyro hut? And she says, no. That maybe the kid's immaculate and whatever. And Jesus says, bullshit, that only happened to once, eh? But before that, right, things started to go real bad for Jesus, or I guess bad for the second time, eh? I mean, no one's nailed him to a cross or nothing, not literally, but the man's having troubles. He wanted the kids to be preachers, but the oldest boys, Aaron and JJ, they want to play in the NHL, because they're good Canadian boys, and Aaron, he probably has the best shot at this point, because he's big and smart like his dad, and he's a defenseman with a great breakout pass, and he can skate like Paul Coffey, I tell you what. Even wore the skates two sizes too small. And JJ, he's okay, he can play any of the forward spots, but he's smaller, like, takes after Maggie. He's a real scrapper, eh? A pest like Kenny Linsman, right? Balls like my Aunt Ruth. We'll take anyone on, eh? So Aaron gets drafted third round by Sudbury, plays as a 16-year-old, which ain't as common it was in our day, but he fucks it right up, eh? Gets into the drink and the puck muddies and knocks up some stupid little thing from Wawa, and of course abortion ain't an option. And he blows out his ACL in the playoffs against the 67s. Jesus said he was hung, and pretty soon he's back in the bay working the gyro hut and awaiting a kid at 16. Now Jesus, he's a tough motherfucker, I don't have to tell you that. I see he's got a cross there, so you know the man's story, up to the Neil Young part anyway. But the one that puts him over the edge is the youngest one, that fucking Levi. Levi don't want to be a preacher, don't want to be a hockey player. No, little Levi wants to dance, eh? Dance. Can you imagine that shit? Son of Christ is good enough to play junior, and little fucker wants to dance. And Jesus figures any kid who loves jazz tap as much as Levi must mean he's a fag, which of course it fucking well does. So Jesus, and shit, I don't fault the Messiah here, not one bit. Tells Levi if he wants to be a dancer, then fine, but not under his roof. So Levi ups and leaves the bay and heads for Toronto so he can dance and suck cock and live in a loft and whatnot. But Levi, he don't think things through like his dad, right? Doesn't have a head on his shoulders that can do more than swallow, eh? So he shows up back the bay about a year later, and he's been fucking in the big city, and he's got the HIV. And Jesus doesn't want to let him back in the house, but Maggie's all tears and shit, and Jesus tells her it's her fault for turning him queer because she'd listened to Katie Lang and watched figure skating when she was pregnant. But Jesus gives in, and now he's got his three boys in the house, a daughter-in-law, a grandkid, a fucking half-breed daughter that likely belongs to the dishwasher. And he's got to put another extension on the back, which shades my lawn pretty good, but I don't say nothing because Jesus has been good to me and he's got enough troubles. But then this is when shit went really bad, eh? Man. So the wife starts to put on a few, eh? And Jesus suspects she's with child again. He's furious. She swears it's his, eh? But he smells the Spaniard all over this one, right? So one night we're in my garage huffing gas and changing the oil in the F-150, and he says to me, we got to get that Spaniard. And I says, whoa now, JC, I don't know about that. I ain't no killer, right? And he says, what about the guy in Peterborough, eh? And I says, oh, how do you know about that? And he just looks at me all surly-like, and I says, oh, yeah, being the Lord and all that. And I try and calm him down, but he's all, you have heard that it was said unto them of old time, thou shalt commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of my members should perish, and not thy whole body should be cast into hell. And he says, you're the boss, but I'm a little hesitant, right? And he says, I owe him for all the free wine and whatnot. Plus, he's the Lord Almighty, right? And who tells the Lord they're not going to help him kill a Spaniard dishwasher at 3 in the morning high on gas up the bay? Not me, buddy. Not this one. That's bad karma right there. So we get in the truck and we head down the gyrac because it's Tuesday and he knows the Spaniard works late mopping up, right? So we wait out back for the Spaniard to leave. And when he does, we haul ass across the parking lot and grab him. And Jesus holds him while I duct tape his legs and hands and we toss him in the back. And Jesus is looking all like Manson, and we're speeding out Atticoken Way on the 11, and the Spaniard is flying around the cab like a three-legged lab, and I'm worried that I'm in over my head, right? But we pull over around Finnmark, and Jesus gets in the cab and with the Spaniard starts yelling all kinds of shit at him in Spanish, and the dishwasher looks like he's had the fear of God put him. After about 20 minutes, Jesus rips off all the duct tape, and the Spaniard sprints like a madman, weaving the 11 towards the peg, screaming shit in Spanish. So I says, Jesus, what did you say to him? And Jesus says, I let him know who I was. And that was that, eh? And we drive all slow back to the bay, and we ain't seeing nothing. So to break the silence, put on the radio, and there's Stryper booting out Reason for the Season. And Jesus takes his steel toe and puts it right through the stereo, eh? Tears apart half the dash. And he says to me, he says, Jesus don't listen to a goddamn Stryper. And you look at me like I'm full of shit. I was there, man. I know Jesus, and he's a real beaut. We were in that truck, man. And that's how I know the Lord don't listen to no Stryper.
Freaking amazing was that, okay? It's like Mike's already graduated. He's just a graduate that's coming back. He's just coming back for more. So congratulations.
Thank you.
So we're gonna have a break, but before that,